Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update, and then our study in Micah chapter 4, verses 8 through 13, titled, Thou Shalt Go Even to Babylon. The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at bbfohio.com. As we now begin, this is part one of two.
Current events update. Israel is still at war, of course. 3/13/24. Today is day 159. Still, the official number remains at 134 hostages. In Gaza, I think you pronounce his name Gallant. He's IDF, one of the IDF leaders. Hints at Rafah op, meaning sending in the troops. And he just made a warning, those who think we are delaying will soon see. They're not delaying, they're prepping. Jesus said, you know, before you go into battle, you make sure you got everything, count the cost, and go in knowing you're going to win. There's been no substantial changes this week, but South Africa threatens to arrest dual citizens serving in IDF. So there are dual citizens that are serving the IDF, and I guess when they come home, this thing is, how'd you like to wake up to that every morning? Threatening to arrest them. But on the other hand, there are men like, people like, men and women, Floyd Mayweather. He went to Israel with a solidarity trip. So credit where it's due. Way to go, Floyd. Hamas refuses to release the abused Jewish hostages that they still have, and Israel continues to kill Islamic terrorists and their enablers. That's basically what's been happening since October 7th, and it's going to continue to happen until Israel gets their hostages back. And if anybody, you can tell them that your pastor said this, if anybody tries to tell you what Israel's doing is genocide and is wrong, tell them that until the hostages are returned, shut your mouth. Amen. You've got 134 hostages. Release them or shut up. And that goes for every left-wing nut job in America.
Amen. Into that.
IDF confirms targeted elimination of senior Hamas official in Lebanon. He went up in smoke and right to hell. Some 100 terrorists killed as Khan Yunis operations continue, and that's down in the southern part of the territory known as Gaza right now. That's what's going on, but it's basically, the headlines are a little different, but the main story is the same, and it's going to continue until they get those hostages back. And I let you on a little secret. Then it'll continue until every last member of Hamas is in hell. That's when it'll stop. That may not stop. That means it may not stop until the Lord comes back. This may turn right into eventually the Gog-Magog war. We get raptured one way or another right around that time.
Amen.
And then 7 years, a little more than 7 years after the rapture, Jesus returns and kills them all. In the meantime, we stand with Israel.
Amen.
Without apology. Amen. Number two, the Uniparty. Clawing and scratching for every single dollar they can find. I always have to tell people, I do spend a lot of time condemning the wicked Democrat Marxist death cult party. But the Republicans got a bunch of creeps in it too. Mitch McConnell and that group, the rhinos and the neocons. They love the endless wars. Most of them are pro-choice, in quotes, pro-abortion. And they give their own money to it, and they have continually voted. Republicans are the reason, not all, of course, you know what I'm saying. But those rhino and neocon Republicans are the reason Planned Parenthood has been funded every year.
Exactly.
And if it wasn't for rhino and neocon Republicans, and of course Roe v. Wade passed because of Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices to begin with. So the Republican Party is chock full of scumbags. But the Democrat Party, no Christian has any excuse to belong to that party. You don't have a good reason for it. You just don't. And all the cowards in the pulpits who won't tell their people that, they don't have a good excuse for being cowards either. And I've always said, I don't say a lot because people, there's no way I can prove it. But I'm telling you, I would not have sat around and watched Adolf do what he did in Germany without throwing a fit. Amen. Well, that's what I'm doing now.
Amen.
And every Christian now should be throwing a fit. Because our country is being taken over by a bunch of devils in both parties. That's why it's called the Uniparty. There's not a dime worth of the difference between most Republican leaders and the Democrats. And then, of course, Green Party, Socialist Party, Communist Party, all the same. So, like I said, they're clawing and scratching for every single dollar they can find for the good of Americans and our country. No. They are scraping every dime they can get for their endless wars.
Today, the United States is announcing an emergency package for Ukraine using cost savings from previously approved Pentagon contracts. The package includes munitions and rounds to help Ukraine hold the line against Russia's brutal attacks for the next couple of weeks, which I have the authority to do without asking Congress for some more money right now. But I've asked them for a lot more money. And but it's not nearly enough what I'm announcing today.
If you could understand what that senile reprobate was even saying, he's saying that he's taken all the money he can find left over at the Pentagon while our men are not even able to go out to the shooting range now because they're low on ammo. But he's getting all the money he can get left over from the Pentagon instead of using it for our military, and he sent it over so that it's not for Ukraine, it's for his own pockets. These politicians are voting for the funding for these wars to get rich. They are multimillionaires, and not one of them are making over about $150,000 a year in Congress. It would take decades to make the money they're making. How do they make it? That's how. They buy stock in and have interest in the industrial military complex. They fight endless wars and become millionaires. And you know, one of the greatest soldiers in American history, Smedley Butler, go read what he had to say about after he was the most decorated Marine in American history in his life up to his lifetime. And he'll tell you, war is a racket. But you know who he's, what he's telling you is exactly what our Bible tells us. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what's behind it. There's no money for our own border. We can't keep those poor little children from coming over the border so they can be used as sex slaves, and Joe Biden knows it. There's no money to keep the fentanyl from coming in and killing all of our kids and young people. There's no money to keep those men of fighting age from coming in our country so that they can attack us, but they got all the money in the world to send over to endless wars. Yeah. And today, Mitch McConnell, the oldest punk on earth, standing up there telling everybody, we need to send more money over there. That was his message today. While the Biden administration continues to flood our nation with illegal aliens, and that they're not undocumented anything, they're illegal aliens.
Amen. Director Ray, we know that over the last 3 years, millions of people crossed the U.S. border illegally, and many have been released into the country. Have members or people with ties to dangerous gangs, like, for example, the prison gang Tren de Aragua from Venezuela, were they among the people that came into this country?
I don't know that I can speak to the specific gang, but certainly we have had dangerous individuals enter the United States of a variety of sorts.
Are we seeing crimes from people that entered the country over the last 3 years, some of them with ties to gangs or... other criminal organizations?
Well, I guess what I would say is this. From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border, and that includes everything from the drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. An awful lot of the violent crime in the United States is at the hands of gangs who are themselves involved in the distribution of that fentanyl.
But you're also seeing and tracking local law enforcement arresting and for example, the assault on the police officers in New York. All the reporting said they had ties to this gang in particular. But there's no doubt that people that were criminals in their country of origin have crossed that border and are now in the U.S. committing crimes.
Correct.
Is there now a black market emerging to sell? We've seen reports of a black market emerging selling fake Social Security cards, fake green cards. Have you seen reporting on that?
Well, certainly there is a, on the dark net, for example, there is a significant marketplace for different kinds of stolen identity.
What about in the street?
I think as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there are smuggling networks all over the world that specialize in moving people from all over the world, including from the Middle East, Central Asia, and so forth. Are we aware of any of these smuggling organizations are run by or are conducted by people that have ties, for example, to ISIS or other terrorist organizations?
So I want to be a little bit careful how far I can go in open session, but there, you know, there is a particular network that has where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about, and that we've been spending an enormous amount of effort with our partners investigating exactly what that network is up to is something that's again the subject of our current investigation.
But. So there is a network we're concerned about that has facilitators involved in it that have ties to ISIS and
Correct.
Other terrorist organizations.
Correct.
Just think of that. They know that these terrorists are coming into our country by the tens of thousands every month. That's why I'm telling you, you have to get your supplies and be ready, because something big is going to happen, I believe, and I'm not prophesying here. If God gave me the word, though, you better believe I'd be screaming it from the housetops. But I really do not expect an election in November.
Amen.
I expect something big to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what they've already done to keep Donald Trump, who doesn't belong to either political party, out of the White House. And I don't care if his name was, you know, Fred Sanford. If he did what that man's doing, he's got my support. But if you are a devil with skin, like most of the political leaders in this country, who are more worried about being a part of the global New World Order than supporting the Constitution, then you don't care about anything that we so-called MAGAs, as they like to call anybody who stands for the Constitution today. I don't call myself a MAGA. They call me that. Why do they call me that? I don't wear hats and t-shirts, and I'm not knocking anybody who does. But I'm just saying, just think about this. I don't wear any of that stuff. They automatically call me MAGA. Why? Because I'm against killing little babies. Because I'm against gun control. I'm against Marxism. I'm against the New World Order. I'm against the deep state. I'm against communism. Because I believe my rights come from God and not from government.
Amen.
MAGA.
That makes you a Christian nationalist.
Christian nationalist is the other term they're starting to throw down on people. Yeah. I just would ask anybody who says, are you a Christian nationalist? Well, give me your definition and I'll tell you. Because if it just means that I'm against globalism, that I'm for America first, and I believe that God gave me my rights, and that's what they define that as, then call me that. That's what I am. But there are some out there using that term, and they're like little Adolfs. So I don't want the label if that's what it means. But so Ukraine gets money even though we're bankrupt, and America can go to hell. That's what your government is telling you.
That's
the people who control our government want to end the sovereignty of this country. They want to destroy the Constitution. They want us under a New World Order, globalist order. That's what they're after. And you think, how could an American, what a pathetic Benedict Arnold. Well, let me tell you something. Benedict Arnold was a patriot compared to these people. And these people think that once it's all said and done and the global order is in power, in effect, they'll be heroes. That's what they think.
They'll be killed.
Yeah. They're useful idiots.
We're borrowing money to pay our rent as citizens in our own country, and we're sending $100 billion to another country. Under what world is that a good idea? It's a terrible idea. The Federal Reserve Chairman has said the problem is urgent. Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, has said the problem is urgent. Nassim Taleb, the author of The Black Swan, has said it is urgent. You have all of these people, some who predicted the crisis in 2008, saying it's an imminent crisis. The debt crisis hangs over us. There's a danger of destroying the dollar and destroying our country. And leadership is concerned about making their plane to Kiev. The Republican leader and the Democrat leader will be on a plane to Kiev, I'm assuming with champagne and pallets of cash. How much oversight do you think there is on pallets of cash? How much is stolen? Well, you'll never know because they have refused to have an inspector general. I've forced at least two votes on this. I've been advocating for over a year. I'm not for sending your money to Ukraine. But if you're going to send it, can we at least count how much is being stolen? Ukraine has been on the top 10 list for one of the most corrupt countries in the world, and nobody's watching the money.
It's one of the few up there that has any. I'll put it this way. I think he's one of the few up there with a soul.
Amen.
Now, we're going to close with this. Joe Biden once stood for the exact opposite of his present policies. Listen to Joe.
To put it in very personal terms for a moment, Joe Biden, me, I would settle for a world in which I could worry about the same kinds of things that my parents worried about, in which I only had to worry about the grades my children got in school rather than the drugs they're being exposed to. In which I only had to worry about the prices my wife had to pay at the supermarket instead of fearing that she might get mugged by a junkie in the parking lot as she loads her groceries into the car. In which tonight, I could call my mom just to wish her pleasant dreams, not for the purpose of making sure she's safe in her own home. That's the kind of world I want. That's the kind of world you deserve. In a nutshell, the president's plan doesn't include enough police officers to catch the violent thugs, not enough prosecutors to convict them, not enough judges to sentence them, and not enough prison cells to put them away for a long time. We disagree with the president's decision to cut back on our previous commitment to protect against the drugs coming across the border, to cut the Customs Service, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol.
Think of that.
We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live with an international strike force. There must be no safe haven for these narco-terrorists, and they must know it. And we don't have to promise a world without worry or fear. We're not asking for that much. All we have to do, together, is to keep our promises and stay together. Thank you.
What year was that?
Some year before he was possessed by the devil.
Yeah, back when that man could get the Republican nomination.
Yeah, he's more conservative than most Republicans today.
That's back when it was 77, 78 in there.
You think about, I don't know the year, but I can tell you this, that the Bible is true. And the Bible says that the devil comes in through sorcery, and your president is a dope head.
Amen.
It ain't just Hunter. and they've got him strung out on amphetamines and other mind-altering substances. And that's why when it's not a big important event, he looks like he's stoned and about to pass out. But then on the big events, he's jacked up like he's on speed. Which, that's why I tell you, if he's reelected, you're going to have President Harris. Because this guy, his days are numbered. He's abused his body and is abusing his body so badly, in addition to the cognitive issues. He's just going to drop dead one day. All right, we're in Micah chapter 4, picking up verse 8. Thou shalt go even to Babylon. That was the message of the Lord given to the kingdom of Judah. As we'll see, we finish chapter 4. Go even to Babylon. So let's read verses 8 through 13. Read the odd with me, so I'll begin verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. Jenny, could you get me a coffee? I'm sorry. I meant to double fist it and I forgot. So Micah reiterates the Babylonian captivity, but as we've seen, and we'll see in light of the future glory to come, so we start in that verse 8 with king and kingdom. Then we see the chastisement in verses 9 and 10, and then we see the divine defense of God for Israel in verses 11 through 13. So let's start there with king and kingdom in verse 8. O thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. That sounds like flowery language to some of us, but some have taught that this specifically is speaking of Bethlehem. And from Jerusalem, there was a tower that you could see from the hill of Jerusalem. You'd see over to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was kind of considered like Worthington is to Columbus. This is the city of Worthington, but how many of you have told people that your church is in Columbus? You know, yeah. And when I lived in Worthington, I would a lot of times say that people from out of state, where are you from? You say Worthington, then you better get prepared to give more detail. But if you tell people Columbus, then they know what you're talking about. And that's how Bethlehem and Jerusalem were considered, really. So that makes sense, since the king was born there. King Jesus. That's where it says, unto thee shall it come. What? The kingdom. But the kingdom comes with the king. You don't have a kingdom in reality if you don't have a king. And so that's what it said, unto thee shall it come. So take note of the similarities between our text and what we read in Matthew chapter 2. Go over to Matthew chapter 2 and look at, keep in mind what we read there. It's just kind of neat how you run these comparisons. And from verse 8, speaking of what we believe is Bethlehem, the tower in view, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Well, look at Matthew 2, beginning of verse 1. Read verse 1 with me. Thank you. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now look at verse 2. Go ahead and read that. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. So there are Bethlehem, where that tower is. You see a reference to the king of the Jews. Who's that? Jesus. That's who they're calling. They called him that at his birth. They called him that at his death. King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And then verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, why? Because passages like this, of course, there's some others we're going to see in Micah are even more well-known and specific. But passages like this had everybody looking for the Messiah to come. And they expected him to be born in Bethlehem. And they expected a lot of things, sadly, that they were wrong about.